Mini episode 559 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by First Down Scouting, delivering the most thorough scouting service available, uncovering the NFL stars of tomorrow. Follow them on the web at the number one, stdownscouting.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 559. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with our preview of Mad Men episode 7.12, titled Lost Horizon. Of course, this segment is co-branded as usual with Not Just Another TV Site.com, where you can also find my weekly reviews of Mad Men. Here's our top five developments from episode 7.11 heading into this week's installment. Number five, Roger and Marie are actually a thing. Didn't he dump Mona years ago because he felt that she was too old for him? Also, Mona's not insane like Marie, but maybe he likes the crazy. Well, no, the young, hot, and goofy Jane was too much for him. Almost by process of elimination, the implication seems to be that Frenchie Marie is a wildebeest between the sheets. Very classy, writers. Number four, Pete plays Punch a Preppy. With his little girl revealed via a test to have no sense of her father, and the only employer he's ever known about to get absorbed into the big machine, the chances of Pete rising above his tormentor at Greenwich Country Day were slim and none. Now, he and Trudy were showing some small signs of appreciating each other a bit more than they have recently, although Pete has amusingly shown the ability to bond with almost anyone over a shared gripe. Could his focus turn more toward personal redemption now that he's not going to be a sales powerhouse at Sterling Cooper anymore? Number three, regrets about childbearing have now gripped both of the firm's leading ladies. Both Joan and Peggy have brought new life into the world, although Peggy's tale was somehow a secret. In the previous episode, single mother Joan was regretful about the dampening effects that her son had on her personal life, although in the end she had the decency to feel guilty about it. This time around it was Peggy who was forced to confront giving up her child for adoption. Even with Kevin in the picture, Joan seems ready to start over with Richard. Peggy and Stan increasingly have sparks flying between them. Can each of Sterling Cooper's leading females manage to find personal happiness in the end? Number two, Don adds Sterling Cooper to his list of recently forfeited assets. Even if Don hadn't acknowledged his need to fill his personal void in the previous episode, it would have become quite obvious here. Now that he's lost his marriage, his home, the furniture and accessories that filled his home, and the company where he built the Don Draper legend, the last three episodes are sure to feature Don picking up and starting over in some form or fashion. And with Diana being referenced yet again, the brooding stranger may yet be part of his future. Number one, Sterling Cooper finally gets swallowed by McCann Erickson. Through its different incarnations, Sterling Cooper had always been predicated on delivering big-time quality in a smaller firm. Because of all their talent, they had always been eyeballed by the big boys. And now, in a move that Jim Hobart swears was not born of subterfuge, their absorption into McCann is complete, with the loss of the iconic Time Life building offices serving as the physical embodiment of the firm's demise. Given that McCann had purchased what was left of Sterling Cooper after their defection from the Brits back in late 1963, it would be interesting if it turned out that the old SC offices are the return destination for the company's workforce. How will everyone adapt to the move? Surely they're not all going to be a part of it. The stakes have now been firmly established for the final three episodes of the series, and the sense of urgency that so many critics and fans had found lacking in the end run has been restored. Now we wait to see how these characters who have been seeking to avoid this fate for over a decade must deal with it. Thank you for having tuned in to FDH Lounge mini episode number 559.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.